Welcome to another episode of Unmask Your Mind. I'm Annie Sousa, and I want to make a content warning before I start off today. I want to say that today's episode is going to be about, we're going to be discussing intergenerational trauma, anxiety, and childhood experiences, so please, please practice self-care while listening. I believe everyone carries wisdom waiting to be discovered, so before we begin, let's ground ourselves with a quick breath together. So inhale for four. One, two, three, four. Hold for four. One, two, three, four. Exhale for four. One, two, three, four. Okay. Now that we did that, let's start off. Have you ever heard your mother's exact words escape your lips during stress? Your father's, grandparents, uncle, even a teacher, someone from your childhood. Notice your father's nervous habits in your own hands. These aren't coincidences. They're echoes of generational patterns. Today, we're exploring how to transform this inherited wounds interpersonal power. A lot of people don't understand or are even aware that what happened in our childhood sometimes does impact us more than we are aware of. So here we go. What is generational trauma? What is that word? Generational trauma, right? That phrase. Well, it's like inheriting an emotional blueprint, if you will. So imagine your grandmother living through war, and her hypervigilance became your mother's anxiety, which then became your perfectionism. It's basically a survival strategy that is passed down through generations. So let me share something personal. Last Christmas, I watched as my daughter, who is having issues standing up to people, she's having that same anxious, submissive reaction I once had. Now, I understand there are other pieces to the puzzle, which I will be discussing in this episode and other episodes to come. But that's when it hit me. I had passed down my fear of disapproval, my fear of I had to remain safe. Disbelief that quiet meant safe to my daughter. Sadly, depending on the type of trauma, it might lead us as grown-ups to engage in toxic and maladaptive relationships that seem familiar to our childhood. So, for example, if I go back to sharing something personal, I grew up with a critical and temperamental big brother. He was unpredictable, if you will. We never knew what would set him up. My parents had their hands full. And there's more to the story that I will be divulging and talking about myself. But my point is that at that time, I didn't know, obviously, in my journey, my own therapeutic journey, I've learned to understand this. But at the time, I didn't know that subconsciously, I was choosing a partner that seemed familiar, that seemed comfortable to me. But what seemed familiar was the toxic personality that I knew, that chaotic unpredictability, that I was the fixer and I had to remain quiet. Obviously, I didn't understand that to that degree at the time. So when we are not understanding our trauma, we're putting ourselves in dangerous positions in a way because we are doomed to kind of like repeat it as well. And obviously, my kids sadly saw a pattern with me. They saw a submissive mom, an anxious and fearful side of me, as well as themselves, because they were also fearful. So that's a whole different conversation. So that's why it's very important to understand that piece of generational trauma. Sometimes we don't understand, and we're like, it's okay. So I had a critical parent. I had a tough brother. I had a critical mom, but I'm okay. She made me tougher. It's okay. But you need to understand, are you sure it's not affecting you or impacting you more than you think? However, the good news is that we all can change and start over. And that's what this podcast is about, unmasking our minds and learning how to start over with knowledge and power, because we can all start over. And for us millennials, this generational trauma often shows up as crippling perfectionism. Nothing less than 100% is good enough. Have you ever felt like that little voice saying that to you? Or, oh my goodness, the financial anxiety. I need 6 backup plans. Or that chronic people pleasing. If I'm not helpful, I'm worthless. Or that fear of abandonment. Everyone leaves eventually. So let's break down what is it actually happening in your brain, and let's keep it simple. So think of trauma like a deep groove in a record. Each time similar circumstances arise, your brain follows that familiar pattern. So you don't know it. You're not aware of it. You can even be walking to a coffee shop and it reminds the smell, because that's how our brain, the body never forgets. Our brains are that amazing and our body is that amazing. You can be walking into a coffee shop and the smell of coffee without you even knowing, this is you not being aware, just so you know, it just triggers something, your grandparents, someone in your past that used to drink coffee. And that can get you in a mood without you even knowing that you're getting in that mood for that reason. So that's why it says that research shows that childhood experiences literally shape our brain architecture. So when a parent responds to stress with anger, their child's brain wires itself to expect danger. This is why it's so important for us parents to regulate ourselves, breathe, to take care of our childhood trauma, because if not, we are going to keep passing on that generational trauma. And our kids are going to be passing it on and so forth. So, because the brain wires itself to expect danger, this creates what scientists call neural pathways, like heavily traveled roads in your mind. But here's the amazing part. Your brain has neuroplasticity, guys. Neuroplasticity. So think of it like your brain's ability to create new roads. Each time you respond differently to old triggers, you're paving a new path. Isn't that amazing? And that's why I say unmask your mind, get knowledge, start creating a new you. So common manifestations of that trauma include freezing during conflict. How many of you go through that? I'm raising my hand right now. You freeze during conflict. You just go like, oh, or a noise, or a yell, or someone raising their hands, and you just go like, and you freeze. Difficulty accepting praise. Oh, yes, yes. That one also makes me uncomfortable. You just feel uncomfortable, and people are like, you did such a great job, and you're like, oh my God, what is that? Oh my goodness, what is that feeling? I feel it here, and I feel it here, and you don't even know what's going on. Chronic anxiety about the future. Another way it manifests is trouble maintaining relationships. So how do you break that cycle? Okay, let's get practical. Here are tools that you can use today. Pattern recognition. Guys, listen. I know I talk a lot about patterns. And mind you, I understand I'm autistic, so my life is patterns. But patterns do work. So if you have pattern recognitions, it's going to help you. Why? So imagine this. You have a pattern journal, meaning you note when you react strongly. So let's say you're at work and someone makes a noise. Boom, something happened. And you feel anxious or you felt something, you write it down. As you're writing those down and you look back at your journal, you're going to see a pattern that every time someone makes a loud noise, you feel it and try to write down where in your body. Now, a lot of people don't realize this, but trauma is in your body. It's bottom up, meaning your body to your brain. So where in your body do you feel it? Do you feel it in your chest? Do you feel it in your hands? Do you feel like closing your hands? Like, ooh, anger. Do you feel it in your chest? Do you feel it in your back? Do you feel it on your forehead? Do you feel it? Where do you feel it? Write it down. Eventually, you're going to start building a picture and ask yourself, whose voice is this really? track those body, your body's stress signal. It is very important. And let's do emotional regulation. The 5-5-5 method helps. Now, that means name 5 things you see, 5 things you hear, 5 things you feel. And cold water on wrists for instant calmness. And if you feel that you're very uncalm, like you're very anxious, sometimes if cold water doesn't help, ice. Hold ice in your hands. It's going to help. It regulates the nervous system. Lastly, progressive muscle relaxation. Annie, what is that? It's basically a relaxation technique that basically involves systematically tensing and then relaxing different muscle groups in your body. You tense and you relax slowly. Let's say your toes, then your ankles, and you go on, so on and so forth, all through your body. So by doing that type of emotional regulation is going to help regulate yourself. Now, we've talked about boundaries before in other episodes, but and this one is hard. I want to acknowledge and validate that I understand this one is hard, but setting boundaries. Start with small no's. Now, if you have a trauma that it's hard for you to stand up to people, that you needed to be quiet for survival, I can relate and understand how this one's hard. That's why I say start with small, small no's to people that you feel comfortable and safe with. Use I statements like, I'll need to think about them. Because oftentimes when you have trauma, you don't want to take, you don't want to say I for anything. You want to go like people don't know that you're even there, right? So try with people that feel safe to you and small. And then you start growing from there. Now, start monitoring yourself for new responses. Like, pause before reacting. Choose one pattern to change first. Remember, we're trying to create new neural pathways. Choose one pattern to change first. And celebrate the small victories. Now understand, I know that I'm saying this on this podcast like it's very easy. Monday we talked about this, Tuesday, oh, I'm doing it already. I understand it's not that easy. I'm giving you the information and I understand this is a day-to-day thing. I understand that you have to understand your trauma. You have to first do the pattern journals. When you do the pattern journals, you are going to realize, oh my God, these are my patterns. And when you realize your pattern, you're going to be realizing, oh, this is tied to my mom. This is tied to my dad. And you're going to do a lot of self-reflection. And you may mourn. You may get angry. So that's why I'm saying emotional regulation, cold water. Because you're going to go through all of those strong feelings. So again, I'm telling this to you 1, 2, 3, 4. But it's not 1, 2, 3, 4. It's a process. It's a journey. But it's a healing one. It's a new beginning one. It's going to make you stronger because the moment that you're able to release all of that, you're going to be able to build new neural pathways because you are not going to be longer being held on or trapped by that. But again, I acknowledge it's not easy. So like I said, the last one is just pausing before reacting. And choosing one pattern to change first. So go back to your journal and celebrate those small victories. There are modalities out there in the therapy world like EMDR that help greatly once you realize the pattern. If you realize that the pattern is something that you weren't aware of, that is too big for you to handle, feel free to seek those helps. Now, Jessica told me that I could share her story. So I'm going to share you a story of someone that I helped. And I changed her name even though she told me I could share it. She came to me unable to spend money without panicking, without having a panic attack. And through our work, she discovered her grandmother had lived through extreme poverty. So understanding that connection freed her to develop a healthier relationship with money. So a practical tool, listeners, you can start using today is a trauma timeline. Now, what is a trauma timeline? Draw a line. Mark significant family events above it and your reactions below. So just draw a line. You mark the significant family events above and then your reactions below. And you're going to see patterns emerging. Common pitfalls to avoid. trying to heal everything at once, guys. One thing that I'm guilty of, and I know most of us are, is like you start getting patterns, boo, 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 then you get overwhelmed and you're like, oh, this and that, and then you just short circuit. Try to avoid that. Just don't try to heal everything at once. The other pitfall, shaming yourself for the inherited patterns. No, it's not your fault. And to be honest, if you think about it, it's a generational thing. So once you start understanding it, you even realize it's not their fault either. In some cases, I mean, depends on the trauma, but most likely they are also victims of generational trauma. So shaming yourself for those patterns is not going to take you, it's not going to get you anywhere. The other pitfall, expecting your family to change with you. Oh, guys, this is not going to work. I know it firsthand. Sometimes, and this is something that you probably have heard, and I want to make a pause and focus on this point. Expecting family to change might lead you to disappointment. Expecting your family to change might lead you to healing alone. Expecting family to change might lead you to sometimes coming to the realization, I'm going to have to cut ties with a family member. And those are decisions that you're going to have to make and realize that it's okay. It's okay if you have to cut ties. It's okay if they have a behavior that you realize that is actually abusive and toxic, and they're not willing to validate you, accept it, and they're still doing the same behavior. And I get that a lot. I get that a lot in my line of work. Why is it that my daughter, why is it that my family member keeps doing this? Because you haven't changed your behavior. So at the end of the day, guys, you are entitled to not allow someone to hurt you. You are entitled to put your boundary. If you're healing, the healing journey is a gratifying one. It's a freeing one. But at the same time, it can be lonely because you start seeing people and their behavior for what it is. And then you're going to have to realize, who do you want to be part of your lives? But you have to feel okay with that decision. That doesn't make you a bad guy. And some people might guilt you into thinking like that, but it's not the case. So you can expect that some family members are not going to change. Others might be like, whoa, I did not see that coming. I might be supportive. But I just wanted to make sure that you understood that. And that's my last point and the common another pitfall to avoid: healing without support. Find friends and people that are safe, that can validate you. For me, that has been amazing. I'm going to be honest with you. I have great friends that have turned out to be family to me. Because when I started this journey, I started realizing the situation. And my friends have been amazing. They validated my story. They've been like, whoa, Anne, you know, you're right. This is crazy. They've been pivotal for my healing. So find a support of people that help you. Your therapist, positive people around you are vital. So I want to tell you a story. I'm reading here some of the people that wrote in, and I have here Sarah from Boston. How do I handle family gatherings when they trigger old patterns? I love this question because now we are going into the holiday season, right? So Sarah from Boston, create beforehand a plan. Set time limits. Bring a supportive friend. Plan exit strategies. I mean, if I am summarizing it, I would summarize it that way. And like I said before, if it's something that you feel that you don't need to put yourself in, it's okay to say no. It's okay to say you're not part of my journey anymore. But if it's a family gathering that you want to attend, then put your boundaries. Understand what you are going to tolerate and what are the things that you won't, and set time limits. Have a friend with you and decide, okay, this is my time limit and this is going to be my exit strategy. And that's okay. That doesn't mean that you are doing anything wrong. I hope that helps. Okay, I have Miguel from LA. How does cultural trauma affect workplace behavior? Cultural trauma can make us overcompensate, working longer hours, never taking credit, and avoiding conflict. So yeah, cultural trauma does affect the workplace behavior. It also affects how you relate to people. So let's say depending on your culture, I don't see here where you're from, but depending on where you are from, if you feel that you have to work harder because you feel that you're less than, it can also make you burn over work longer, feel that you don't need to take credit. Feel that you need to be the lower one. It depends on where you are. You want to avoid conflicts. If you're from a particular culture that is used to being criticized by your parents, and the expectation is that you always have to work, be quiet, and not be seen or heard, that translates into your adulthood, and it does affect how you relate at work. Hope that helps. Aisha in Chicago, how do I break financial anxiety patterns? Oh, that's like yes, that's like Jessica's story. So how do you break financial anxiety patterns? You start with small money victories. Like I said before, start small. Set aside $5 weekly. Challenge scarcity. You have to challenge scarcity thoughts. Like you have to be challenging your thoughts with evidence. Are you really broke? Is this really gonna break the bank? Is this really true, or is it just my fear, my intrusive thoughts? So you have to start challenging those thoughts. And when you realize, again, going back to the patterns, you're going to start realizing the picture in a more in a clearer way. You're going to start realizing, wait a minute, this is just my brain. My brain is tricking me. And so you can even sometimes what I do with my brain, to be honest, I just personalize my brain. And I know this sounds silly to a lot of you, but it does help. I'm like, sometimes if you guys listen, I don't know to how many of you out there this happens to. I have a fork problem. What that means is I set the table and I go back and I sit down with the kids and I'm like, oh my God, I forgot the fork for this plate. And then I go back to the kitchen, I get my glass of water, I sit down and I'm like, oh my God, I left this fork. And then I go back and the kids ask me for something and I get what the kids ask me. And once again, I left the fork. So it's like an ADHD problem, obviously. But my point is, I don't attack myself. I'm like, oh my God, my ADHD, my brain. Oh, my brain is being silly again. So I personalize my brain. I literally visualize, my life is in pictures, but I literally visualize a brain next to me playing tricks on me. And that helps me make it more like lighter, if you will. So try to help yourself, Aisha, in that sense. Imagine your brain being like playing tricks on you. So when you see you're saying set aside $5 weekly, and you're gonna have, and when you see that you have discipline and you do have money and you're being budget responsible, budget friendly, and those thoughts get into you, and you see the pattern, you're like, oh, your brain is playing tricks on you. Oh, brain. I hope that helps. So, what actions steps can we take? How about let's do a healing toolkit, guys? So, like I said, journal prompts. Guys, this is really good. The journal prompts help. So, how about you put what patterns am I ready to release? So, you do a journal and you put in that journal a prompt that says, what patterns am I ready to release? What patterns are you ready to release? Now, I have two other questions, two other journal prompts. Are you ready? How would I parent my younger self? And this one is a very healing one. So close your eyes and visualize your 7-year-old self, 8-year-old self, whatever age is coming to your brain. How would you parent that younger version of yourself? What would you do differently? What do you think would change? And number three, what's your definition of safety? So what's my definition of safety? What is that definition? What does safety mean to you? Try these three journal prompts and see what comes to you. What jumps at you? Now, I have a weekly challenge for you guys. Choose one pattern, one inherited pattern, something that you inherited from your childhood, from someone in your family. And notice it without judgment. You need to understand all of this is without judgment. And document alternatives. Document alternatives and see what comes out. See what you think about it. So I'm going to give you a for instance. Let's say that you grew up in a household that was very critical. And I see this a lot. So a household that parents were very critical. So you grew up in a to be very anxious. Everything has to be very organized. You're very anxious and you have a kid. And at home, everything has to be so organized that with your kid, everything has to be very clean. And you can see that your child is getting a little anxious. Again, no judgment. But your parents were very, very critical. So try to write down, what would you say to your seven-year-old? Like, what would be that pattern that they were very critical? They would yell at you if things were not organized, if you did things bad, without any judgment, right? You have to notice that pattern. What alternatives would you use? That it's okay to make messes. You're a kid. Nothing's gonna happen. You just clean them up. You are gonna make mistakes. We're all flawed human beings because no one is perfect. And that's okay. If you draw on the table by accident, it's okay. We can clean it. It's not gonna break the table. So those are the types of things. Tell yourself what you would tell a friend. Notice without judgment. I hope this helps. Now, if you go to my website at unmaskyourmind.com, I have a free workbook for you guys, and there's support groups as well. Now, remember, Maya Angelou's words, you may not control all the events that happen to you, but you can decide not to be reduced by them. I love that. I love that quote. You guys, you're part of a community of healers. Each time you break a pattern, you help break it for generations to come. Think about that. Think about how powerful that is. The moment that you break a pattern, you have become a healer. You're breaking it for generations to come. Isn't that amazing? Well, guys, visit unmaskyourmind.com, and I also have there a free pattern breaking workbook to help you in this journey. Next week, guys, I'm going to have The Body Keeps the Score, Understanding Somatic Trauma. That's a very interesting episode because we're going to talk about how the body is keeping the score of the trauma and how we can work through it. Take gentle care of yourself, guys. Until next time, this is Annie Sousa for Unmask Your Mind.